And gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you wonderful listeners back to the sixth episode of Mocha Time, the podcast where we get a drink and we reflect on our places in the massive world in which we live, and we also try to answer any questions that we might have. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha, and tonight's choice of beverage is a hot chocolate with strawberry cheesecake ice cream and chocolate brownie cake. Very chocolatey, very sugary, I know, but there's a very good reason for that. In one day, it's going to be Christmas Eve, and in just 2 days, Christmas Day. And how can you not have a hot, sweet cup of hot chocolate at Christmas time? To commemorate Christmas, today is going to be a very special episode. You may have already noticed that the opening music was quite Christmassy, but that's only the beginning. Firstly, this episode is going to be a bit longer than the normal 10 to 12 minute episodes that I've been releasing thus far. I know, exciting. Secondly, this is going to be our first instance ever of having a guest on the air. Now, I know a lot of you have been asking me, Mr. Mocha, are you ever going to have guests on the show? Well, I've been thinking about it for a while and I've always wanted to, because I feel as though instead of me sharing my thoughts all the time with you lovely individuals who listen in, it would be even better if every so often, perhaps around special occasions, such as Christmas or New Year, I invited someone on to have a free-flowing, almost spontaneous conversation with them about the topic for a part of the episode or the entirety of the episode. I hope you're excited, because I certainly am. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome on our guest, a good friend of mine with an interest in creative writing, a love for animals, and a content creator arguably more talented than myself, introducing Cherub ASMR. Cherub, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, hi. My name is Cherub, as per my YouTube name. I am an ASM artist with an interest in film and cinematography.
Good stuff. I will add some details regarding the YouTube channel and the like towards the end of the episode. But let's not waste any time, because the people want to hear the episode. In tonight's episode, our question is, what is the meaning of Christmas? Find a quiet space so it's just you, your thoughts, and the podcast. Now, Cherub, do you know what the opening phrase to every episode is?
I do.
Excellent. So, we'll say it at the same time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. So let's sit, take a sip, and get right into it. That was really good.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Really
nice. Okay, awesome. So, when you think of Christmas, what do you immediately think of?
I think of that feeling when you're with your family and you're opening presents, and you know, you're listening to carols and hymns, and it's really lovely, and everyone's laughing. But that sort of feeling that you get that it's not going to last, because it's, you know, it's going to be another year until Christmas comes around again, and everyone's behaving that way because it's the sort of, it's the Christmas spirit that kind of drives everybody to be jolly.
But then that feeling that it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be around for another 365, that's only something that you feel towards the end of the day, I'm assuming.
No, absolutely not. I think it's, you know, as soon as the festivities actually begin.
Right.
Because it goes so quickly, because you're, you know, time flies when you're having fun. You're in the middle of all of it. You're laughing, you're dancing, you're eating, a lot of eating.
Oh, good time.
And
yeah.
So you're not really paying attention to the time. And so by the time it gets to 4 o'clock, you think, okay, brilliant, I have like 2 hours until dinner. And you do nothing for 2 hours and you have dinner, and because you're busy eating, you're not checking the time. And then before you know it, it's 8 o'clock.
Right.
Then once it's 8 o'clock, people start getting sluggish and tired. Then you're sort of lazing around, and then you're, you know, it occurs to you that that's kind of it. Like, there's no more festivities. It's finished. Yeah.
You know, and I think, well, I think from that, you know, the one thing, I mean, you take multiple things from that, firstly, I think. One of them is just to live in the moment from time to time, you know, to appreciate the fact that even though an event in of itself is transient, you know, and can last from one moment to the next, the feelings that you sort of obtain from the event itself, you know, you can carry those forward. But then past the event itself, they will just be, you know, reminiscent of, you know, how you felt when you were in the time frame, right? The feeling will never be exactly the same. So I guess to that end, the other thing we can sort of take from that is it's important that in any moment, you know, whether it be a day or even half a day or a few hours or a few minutes or a few seconds, you cherish what you're experiencing, you know. And that's not necessarily just Christmas. I mean, I know it's a Christmas episode, but it goes for anything really. And that's important. So, you know, I definitely agree with you there. But the carols thing, I mean, singing is quite fun, you know.
Singing is very fun.
I mean, would you say that there's a song, a Christmas song in particular, that what's the first Christmas song that comes to mind the moment you think Christmas? Doesn't necessarily have to be your favourite, but...
I mean, yeah, it's certainly not my favourite, but I think of its beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Which, by which artist, though? By Michael Bublé or by Sinatra? By
either Sinatra or Tony Bennett.
Really? Not Bublé?
No.
Because, you know, I was watching, was it The One Show? And what Bublé was being told was, oh, you know, that his Christmas album consistently gets number one in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it should.
It should. But it's not something that comes to mind immediately.
I think Michael Bublé is sort of like the young godfather of Christmas.
Really? The young godfather of Christmas?
I can think of Michael Bublé when I think of Christmas, and I do, I tend to. But his music, I think, kind of contributes to that bittersweet feeling.
Oh, because it's so nice, and you realise, oh, it's too good to be true.
Yeah, as soon as you start to see him on... like talk shows, and he comes on and he sings something, or when he did the special with the Muppets, that was brilliant. And it occurs to you that he does this, once you see him, you know it's Christmas, and as soon as they start showing them, it's finished. And it's really sad.
Well, I suppose it's one of those situations where you have to look at it glass half empty, glass half full.
Yeah.
You know, yes, everything does have an end, but then everything has a beginning and everything has a duration. So you can either focus on the inevitable end, or you can appreciate the duration of the event, can't you? You know, I'm surprised that we haven't mentioned Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, because that's all I've heard for the past 3 weeks.
It's very popular.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad song per se, but you know when you listen to a song so much to the point where you just sort of... you know, crease a little bit of it, you just cringe a little bit. I think that song is nearing that stage for me. I mean, Mariah is a very talented artist. I don't doubt that. But, yeah, I think the song has run its course.
It definitely has.
It's great that you mentioned Tony Bennett, because there are so many of his Christmas songs that I don't think a lot of people listen to.
No, his Christmas albums... oh, I think he's done two.
He's two or three?
Yeah, his Christmas albums are incredible. They're very good.
I would personally recommend his 2008 one. Was that A Swinging Christmas?
A Swinging Christmas.
A Swinging Christmas. Yeah. I would recommend that. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's more if you're into big band jazz, but then I suppose if you're listening to the podcast, which has a bit of a jazzy undertone, and I take it that you're interested in that sort of genre. But, well, no, this is good. We've discussed music as well. We've discussed, you know... very meaningful things. It's been great. But since we're on the topic of media, here's my second question, really. When you think of Christmas, is there a specific Christmas film or a set of films that come to mind?
I don't really like Christmas films.
Do you not?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I struggle to sit through films to begin with.
Right, yeah.
I just get very...
bored?
Yeah, or I kind of tire of watching the same people do the same thing. And on that note, I haven't been able to watch... there are very few shows that I continually go back to watching or care to watch in weekly installments when they come out.
Right, right.
Because I get really tired of it. But, okay. So, no, I wouldn't say that there's any that come to mind. I think that any film can really be a Christmas film if you either traditionalize it to be that way,
mm-hmm.
or you watch it on Christmas Day and just decide that...
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would go that far.
Because... The Cat in the Hat
is a Christmas film.
It's not a Christmas
if
film.
If you choose to watch The Cat in the Hat on Christmas Day.
Mike Myers in a cat suit is not...
It's a meaningful family film.
Yes, but that doesn't make it a Christmas film.
What makes it a Christmas film? What makes a Charlie Brown Christmas a Christmas film? Well, maybe... the fact that it has Christmas in the title.
Well, maybe the fact that they're all there in their winter coats. They're all singing Christmas carols.
Joan wears a coat to go to work for Mr. Humberflue.
Right, okay, we're not...
So, I'm really not understanding...
It's not a Christmas coat, though. She's wearing, like, a green dress.
That's the entire aesthetic of the neighbourhood.
Yes, but, okay, so what that tells you is that it has not changed at all.
And it wouldn't at Christmas time, because that's the aesthetic.
Therefore, it's not a Christmas-exclusive thing, and therefore it's not a Christmas film.
No, because so then that's to say that when they have Christmas in their universe, it's just not Christmas, when it is.
But, no...
That's exactly what you're saying.
That's not it, no. What I'm saying is, well, what makes a Christmas film is that it has elements of Christmas in there that make it distinct from a run-of-the-mill film, right? So if you took the example that the entirety of the Cat in the Hat's universe is just based on the aesthetic of green...
And pink,
which is not a Christmas colour. If it was red...
Green is absolutely a Christmas
colour. No, green is, but pink is not.
Pink comes before red. Red is just like a very red pink.
No, that's not how... They're two different colours.
I vehemently disagree with you.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
On the subject of colours, yeah, perhaps it's incorrect on my part, but...
Right.
If you are choosing to be together, i.e. the cat keeps the family together and the Cat in the Hat...
Right.
Well, I don't think anyone... No one dies. Actually, yes.
Larry Quinn does not die.
Larry Quinn doesn't die, but he suffers a great ego death. So if you are deciding that that is what is Christmas to you,
right.
Then in every stretch of the imagination, the Cat in the Hat is a Christmas film.
Right. You know... One of the reasons that I always thought to myself it would be great if I got guests on is that I could get a bit of banter going on back and forth, get some really out there ideas, and I've definitely achieved that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, okay. So I was going to say regarding Christmas films, the one that I immediately think of is A Christmas Carol.
Mm.
Is A Christmas Carol Scrooge? A Christmas Carol? Is that it?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
But specifically the Walt Disney version with actual
Scrooge
McDuck. Yeah. The reason I remember that, it wasn't just because I watched that film to death growing up as a child. It was also the meaning of Christmas. For me, it sort of highlighted the meaning of Christmas, that it wasn't just about monetary things. And I think A Christmas Carol did a very good job of that because quite literally all Scrooge cared about was money.
True.
Right. And I think to a certain extent, Christmas isn't all about money. But what I would say, this is going to be a very, very renegade idea. I don't think commercialism at Christmas time is a bad thing. I think it's a double-edged sword, like most things are. Because you can argue that people focus on getting really expensive things, but then you could also argue that people go out of their way to... purchase things which might take a good amount of money out of their disposable income. And surely that in of itself is sacrificial, which is what Christmas is supposed to. Now, obviously, yes, the other side to the sword is that people get upset when their gifts aren't of a certain
what they wanted.
Yeah, of a certain monetary value. I remember I was watching this video the other day. It just sort of popped up. And I even mentioned that I didn't like it. It was All I Want for Christmas is Cash.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and it was about... Obviously, it was a joke. Like, I got that it was a joke. But then it's a joke playing off of what some people actually think, that if the present isn't of a certain monetary value, I'm not interested in it.
You might as well have just given me money to buy what I want.
Yeah, give me the money so I can buy what I want. And I that defeats the purpose of Christmas, you know? And that's not really what... I didn't like that all that much, you know? Because I think to a certain extent... It's very tempting sometimes to focus so much on what the present is as opposed to what the present represents.
Yeah.
You know, each present is supposed to represent, you know, a gift from one person to another. This is my way, or one way rather, not the way, but one way of me expressing how much I love and care for you, how I appreciate you, and me offering you something at this time of year, which is known for sharing gifts.
I think, in my opinion, a gift means I was thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though you deserve this. You are someone of value in my life that I feel as though I want to demonstrate that value to you.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that the monetary value of a gift represents how much you mean to somebody whatsoever. It's just the act of sacrificing something that would benefit me, i.e. money, and therefore financial security, to show you that you mean more to me than that. Because it's money is one of those things that, like most things, is transient.
Right.
Spending £100 on a gift here might be fine at Christmas time, but maybe later down the line in February, you might think, it would be great if I had this £100 to buy, I'm not sure, groceries or, you know, something that you need.
Right.
So it's that sort of immediate from me to you without my worry for consequence that I think is what the gift giving is supposed to be about. I think is sort of lost in translation with the fact that Christmas has become so commercialised. But then I would agree that... it's not necessarily a wholly bad thing.
Yeah.
When you think to give somebody a gift, it strengthens your bond. And I think the fact that Christmas is so commercialized is arguably one thing that bolsters the Christmas spirit, because you have this excitement of, oh, I have a tree and I can't wait to see the look on so-and-so's face when they open the gift that I gave them. And you know, everybody's so much happier and more immediately gleeful and generous. And I think that we need a lot more of that today.
So when you say today, do you mean all year round, or do you think just at Christmas time in particular?
I think that we need that permanently. I think that it's something that... I feel like if we retained Christmas spirit annually, then perhaps... I'm not saying that it would, you know, formulate world peace, but I definitely think it would give us that one step further to total, at least, friendliness, civility.
Right. Mutual understanding between people.
There would be lots and lots of just shared and understood values.
You know, and I think it's interesting that you use that choice of words, because that is, I think that choice of words, you know, love amongst all mankind, is something which I'm sure is in one Christmas carol. I can't remember which one, but I've heard it at some point. No, you're right. It's about that mutual love between human beings. And I think to a certain extent, it's something that we can all unite for at Christmas time, but yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't be there for the remainder of the year. No, I definitely agree with that. And you know, that actually leads me on to my last question, which is actually fantastic. Do you think the meaning of Christmas has changed? I mean, we've been talking about commercialism a great deal. We've been talking about how Christmas and what it embodies should be there all year round, how we should change our way of treating others all year round instead of making it a Christmas exclusive thing. But do you think that the meaning of Christmas in of itself has changed over the past, let's say, 20 odd years or however long?
I think that depends greatly on who you are.
Okay.
There's a quote that I really, really like from Ratatouille,
mm-hmm.
which is that change is nature and it starts when you decide.
Who said that quote in Ratatouille?
Remy said it to his dad when they were outside the rat death shop.
Oh,
and he
right.
was walking away to go back.
Okay, yeah.
It's change is not always a good thing. And sometimes it will happen around you and you won't be able to have a say in that. So I'm not saying at all that the fact that Christmas has become heavily commercialised and that this puts a lot of pressure on, people who perhaps aren't quite as monetarily privileged as a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying at all that that's a good thing and that they can escape that, because that's completely untrue. But what I am saying is that the really nasty parts of Christmas that make it so competitive in a financial sense,
mm-hmm.
or in a selfish sense. So like in that video, the want to just get money so you can benefit yourself rather than see or collectively share the happiness of opening a physical Christmas gift.
Right, right.
But that's something that you can choose to transcend.
Yeah.
You can choose to say, okay, I've given this person a gift, they don't appreciate it, but I know that in my heart of hearts, I intended to give them something that I could give,
mm-hmm.
and that would demonstrate that I was thinking of them when I could have been thinking about myself.
Yeah.
In the case of gifts becoming more and more of a necessity as, the market becomes more and more saturated with new and high-tech and exciting things, that you can say, okay, I can buy this for my child or for my brother or for my cousin, but that if I had gotten them a pair of socks
mm-hmm.
from the charity shop,
okay.
that this would have meant just as much to me.
Yeah. It's the classic saying, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
Because yes, an iPhone XS would be lovely, but what if, let's say 3 weeks ago, you overheard that person saying, oh, I could really do with a nice warm pair of socks because it's just freezing nowadays.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I think there's more merit in just listening to those little things. And sometimes it's, that statement might not have even been a hint, but it's the fact that you remembered and you thought to yourself, oh, they would really need that.
Mm.
I think that carries a lot more merit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong at all with going and getting high-end products. Not at all, right? But I do think, I think that that's what you were saying, Cherub, is that there is a side to all of this in which people become enamored, obsessed, and focus on the monetary value of gifts. And that's not what it's meant to be at all. Now, I think to a certain extent, it's always, there's always been a proportion of the population that have been like that,
mm-hmm.
always. It's just that we see it more often because there's social media nowadays.
Yeah,
everything's broadcasted, everything's shared.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's very tempting to think, oh yeah, like all kids nowadays are like that, I don't appreciate anything. And that's not the case. I think that's slightly unfair. Granted, there are times when you open a present, you think you were getting something when you're younger, and you're like, oh, it's not that.
You get a bit deflated.
Like, I remember when I was younger, I wanted Shadow the Hedgehog. I think I must have been 11 or 10 or something. Yeah. Either way, I was below the age that was on the box, because it was a 12. Because it was the first edgy Sonic game where Shadow had guns. A lot of people hated the game. I personally don't mind the game. I think it was quite fun for what it was. Anyway, so I opened the box. It felt like a PS2 box, but it wasn't Shadow the Hedgehog. And I looked at Mum, and she said, oh, yeah, Santa didn't have any of those in the shop, so, because I still believed in Santa at the time. He is real, by the way. Don't take that as me saying he's not real. All right, he is still real. All right, hands down. And don't get me wrong, I love Sonic Mega Collection, but I was a child, so I still wanted that edgy Sonic game. So I ended up getting it from Sainsbury's like 3 weeks later or something like that. Me being sneaky, I slipped into the trolley last minute, and obviously there were people behind Mum, so she was like, oh, well, I'm not going to make a fuss here. But, you know, I still appreciated the game for what it was, because Sonic Mega Collection has given me God knows how many hours of entertainment. I still listen to the soundtrack when I'm studying now. And it was still a fantastic day. I still had a fantastic day with the family. And I think you're right. And I think, you know, we can sum this up really by saying that sometimes in life, you know, you're going to expect something and it's not going to be that. You're going to open a box. What you find in the box might be what you've predicted. It might not be. But that doesn't mean that the gift inside the box is of any less importance than what you expected it to be. I think that's definitely what you can say, you know?
I would probably say, to really try to conclude and answer the question for tonight's podcast, what is the meaning of Christmas? I would say that the meaning of Christmas is spontaneity and acceptance. Because, as you said, you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what you're going to get. The only thing that's it's not even really a given that you're going to have an exciting sort of, you know, jolly day. If your mum drops the turkey and it, you know, explodes.
Oh, that would kill me, though.
It would be tragic.
That would be tragic.
But, you know, it's not a given. No day is a given that it's going to be a quote-unquote good day.
Right.
But what will make it a good day is just accepting that this is Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And this day is only going to come once a year, and I don't want to forget this with the rest of my quote-unquote bad days.
Mm-hmm.
When it's supposed to be good.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. You know, I think one thing I will say just to end off on is I remember someone saying when I was at uni, they sort of said, well, when you're a child, it's really exciting. And then there's this really awkward period where it's not as exciting as when you're a child. You're just sort of looking forward to going home. And then when you become a parent, or if you become a parent, it's then exciting again, but it's more for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that doesn't mean that the meaning of Christmas has changed. It's always been about togetherness. It's just your perspective on what part of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're a child, you're really excited about the gifts you're going to get because you've been, you know, fixated on this Lego set for God knows how long. When you're adolescent, young adult, you're looking forward to being at home, being with everyone. Again, you know, they're still about Christmas, still about togetherness. And then when if you're a parent later on, then it then becomes a case of, I'm excited for my children. So again, it's about selflessness. So I don't think the meaning of Christmas has changed at all. I just think it's all about perspective, you know. But that's still good, because I suppose it means that the integrity of Christmas has lasted for God knows how many years, you know, and I don't doubt at all that that integrity will remain for the years to come. But ladies and gentlemen, this has been Cherub ASMR. She is in the process of starting up a new channel on YouTube. So for any of you who enjoy the ASMR genre, I would follow what's going on there very closely. But it's been a pleasure having you on, Cherub. Thank you so much for your time. Do you have any closing words at all about Christmas or anything in general?
All I would really have to say is, everybody, be good this Christmas, do the best that you can, no matter what it is that you're doing, whether it's just opening a cracker or putting the star on the top of the tree. Do anything you can to do the best that you can, and have a very Merry Christmas. Or if you don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays, have a fantastic Eid, Hanukkah, if you celebrated that. And thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I think, all in all, Christmas is a time to be spent with your loved ones. Those can be your friends or your family, and in the grand scheme of things, it isn't really about what you find under the tree, but what you find within your hearts. It isn't about the tangible things that you give or take, but about the intangibles which you share between you. It isn't about the toys that were made, but instead the memories that you've made which you will carry forward with you for as long as you desire to. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Mr. Mocha. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and I will see you again in the new year. Until next time.